Good evening. Hope you're okay. Gentlemen, I just want to make you aware that we've got, we have slowly but surely, we are in Siman Tov Samach Zayin. Now, if you look, we are going to be learning page 140 today. If you just turn a few pages and you get to page 150, you will be seeing this is Siman Tov Samach Ches already, or the page after 150. He's Siman Tov Samach Ches. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that we are. Then Siman Tov Samach Ches already. What we learned in preparation for Pesach. So that was the few weeks that we learned directly and specifically towards Pesach. Those few weeks pre Pesach. So that was starting from Siman Tov Samach Ches, and we reached obviously on. Just after Pesach, we reached the end of the booklet. So, which means, in other words, that once we've completed this siman, it's the end of Siman Tav Samach Zayin. It's really not far at all. We can probably do this in a week or so, or approximately. Then we've completed Pesach Hashem all the halachas of Hilchos Pesach, which is quite a milestone. I don't know when we started, but it's been a while. Does anybody remember when we started? Yeah, we started with Pesach a while ago. It's a very substantial amount. So we're going to be having, we'll have covered then the entire Hilchos Pesach, which is then followed by Hilchos Yom Tov, which is a very interesting limud, Hilchos relating to all the Yomim Tovim, which we're going to be learning then in Mitzvah Shem. So I just want to make you aware that there's a milestone coming coming along very soon, Be'ezer Hashem. Yeah. I don't think, it's actually not Siman, we're not actually completing a Sefer, but yeah, why not? It's always good to celebrate. Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to be discussing the first three seifim. Is a bit more about the grains, various scenarios with grains, and then from seif ches onwards, we'll be discussing various raw foods on Pesach. Very important for us to understand and realize and learn what are the halachas with regards to general foods on Pesach. And there's some minhagim which we're going to discuss as well, Be'ez Hashem. Fine. So, top of page 140. Dogon Shemem Chobah, that's grain which is still connected. Grain which is still connected to the ground. Sheniz Yabesh Legam, which has completely dried. So, this is grain. It's grain which has completely dried. Meaning that it's really ready to be harvested. It doesn't need any nutrition from the ground. It doesn't need any nutrition anymore from the earth because it's completely grown already. It's dried. It's finished already. It's as if it's been cut already and be put away. And it can become chametz. I believe this is an extraordinary chiddush. Who would have thought that grain which is still connected and grain which is still connected can become chametz? Because obviously any grain which is still growing and is still getting the rain for it to absorb and grow from it, obviously that cannot become chametz because it's still growing. How can something become chametz if it's still a growing item? Nevertheless, we are seeing over here that if it's fully matured and fully dried and fully grown, it's considered kemunach pekad, as if it's stored, as if it's put away, and it can become chametz im yodol of chum if there is rain on it. Now, truthfully, the Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Yudches, im yodol of chum im haynu chum im merubim, it needs to be a lot of rain. So if you've got a field full of wheat which has not been harvested yet and it's just about to be cut, but there hasn't rained yet, and it's just a little bit of kind of moisture, a tiny bit of rain or something, that's no worry, it's not a problem. But if there's a substantial amount of rain which goes on this grain and it's really wet from the rain, then it can become chametz, according to Chai Adam. It needs to be a lot of rain, but once there is a lot of rain, it will become chametz, and I think this is a very big chiddush. Now, therefore there is a minhag, which the Mishnah Berurah brings down already in the name of the Chai Adam, that in order to avoid any of that, we are choshish for that. All our matzahs is made out of grain, out of flour and out of grain, which had the grain has been harvested, therefore in line with this and taken into consideration and taking this chashash very seriously. So how do we deal with it? We deal with it that the minhag is to harvest it when it's still soft and it's still wet, and therefore it doesn't classify into this category at all. The Mishnah Berurah, if got you Zayin, top line, says as follows, Shinisyabesh legamri, kosav achay odom, tmitam ze noegin acharedim, therefore the Yidin who fear the mitzvahs, fear Hashem and fear the mitzvahs, shukara matzoi shalahen mishumori mishas katsiri, we want the matz to be guarded from time of harvesting, lefami manichal yapsham mechuba, we let it dry after it's harvested. So it's maybe counterintuitive, but we wait until we don't wait until it's fully dried and fully matured. On the contrary, we cut it and we harvest it when it's still soft and wet, and we let it dry at this stage so that it's for sure okay. If you wait and you harvest it when it's completely mature and dry, then if it gets wet at that stage, it would potentially become chametz. That's why the grain which is harvested for the matzah is normally harvested very, very early in the year. Very early in the year, before it's actually fully grown and fully matured. See Vav, second line. Chitim shenim tzibur mevukois. What happens if the wheat, you found some wheat which are split, mevukois which are split. Oysan shen mevukois, the ones which are not split are fine, are muta. Bin me shadov amotsoi, because it is common. It could be that you have got a pile or a bag of wheat. Some of it has broken open, i.e. has become chametz. Other grain, which is within the same pile, hasn't opened up at all. Hasn't split, hasn't become chametz. Because the water may not have reached it. So therefore, just because you've got a bag, some of it has become chametz, doesn't mean that the rest has become chametz, and you can use the grain which has no evidence of chametz, you can use them without any hesitation. However, obviously, the wheat which has recognized evidence that it's become chametz, i.e. it's split, those you have to put away. Siv Zayin. Yisrael sheyesh lahem boyros meleim chitim. What happens if a yid has got pits, which is kept for storage? Pits meleim chitim. Vechoshesh, and he puts in those pits, he puts plenty of wheat. Vechoshesh, shemo yesh bekakois haboy, uvekirosh of chitim. Mevukoy melachus haboy v'oretz. Bevitol be'almasek. What happens if a person has got a lot of wheat, which he keeps stored safely in a pit? He's concerned perhaps some of it got moist and got wet from the karkois, from the moisture of the earth. So you don't have to worry about it. You can't check. And there's no need to check, because you can just be mevatel that particular part, that grain. You can just be mevatel and that's fine, because we have learned previously obviously that bevitul, if you can't reach chametz, you can mevatel it and it's fine. So here also, this may become chametz. Bevitul ba'al misogi, as long as you make the bevitul, you are fine with it. You don't have to destroy it. You don't have to remove it, especially because you don't know for a fact it's become chametz. You're only concerned that the moisture that may be there may have made some of your grain which you are storing there may become chametz. Alright, so if it did, you're mevatlet and shalom al Yisrael. Seif Ches now discuss a new topic. Seif Ches talks about What are you meant? What? So we've discussed so much the ingredients and the halachas of matzahs. How do we ensure that the matzahs are really perfectly free and perfectly fine and are perfectly free from chimots? How do we ensure that the water is fine or the liquid? Right, we discussed that in great detail. Here we're going to be discussing now, what about non-wheat containing food items? Do you have to worry about them being chametzdig or not? And the first example is dvash, honey. Sivches dvash, honey shel ein yudi, honey which was purchased from a goy. Ein machzikin bo isa, we don't assume that it is also, and furthermore, ve oichlim oisu pesach, you may consume and eat and enjoy it on Pesach. Honey is fine. Why would there be potentially an issue? The reason is, the Mishabur explains, that honey, regilin le'orev bo'isoyles le'susa, honey is often processed with wheat, with flour, to make some, you add a bit of wheat, to make a bit of flour, to make it a bit more, I don't know, a bit more, perhaps a bit more solid, perhaps for a taste. But normally you add a bit of flour to the honey. So therefore we would have assumed perhaps if you purchase honey from a goy, perhaps you've got an issue that it contains flour which you cannot see. Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It's fine. The Rambam disagrees and says, "Mir yesh machmirim, some forbid it. V'aminik bebedinos elu shelo leichol dvash." The Rambam continues and says, "Our minik is not to eat honey. Rak oisam shemevin bechovios mina kaveres. Only the ones who import and bring honey, which we together with the beehives, and they drink a liquid drink which is produced out of honey, a honey drink." So there is a machloekis as to whether you have to be concerned that perhaps it may contain flour or not. The Shulchan Aruch allows it. Ramah is machmir; he does allow drinks which is made out of honey, though. Te'enim, what about figs? Yeveshim, dried figs. Va'anovim, grapes. Yeveshim, dried grapes. Shekoirin, rozini, which we call dried grapes, which we call
raisins.
Here it is, raisins, rozini. Yeah. Gdoilim or ketanim, whether they're big or small. Toloik b'minigam ekoimus is a machloik as to whether one may eat raisins on Pesach. Why? Ki yesh machmirin, there are stringent opinions, shloi le'oichlon, not to eat raisins, v'yesh mekilim, others, however, are lenient. V'lochein no'ak b'medinois elu, there is, however, the minik in those countries, lehachmir, to be stringent, shloi le'oichlon, shum peiris yibeshim, there's a chumra and a minik not to eat any dried fruits. Gentlemen, are any of you makbit on this minik, not to eat dried fruits? It's quite a common minik that people refrain from eating on Pesach dried fruits. And the reason is, because why? Why do we refrain from eating dried fruits, such as raisins, or what he calls dried figs, and any other dried fruits? Because the flour absorbs moisture, and people used to dry their fruits by having flour absorbing its moisture, and that's how it's going to be maintained and kept fresh. And that's how dried fruits were kept, and that's why they're also, because it was done with the help of flour. That was the minik. Im lo ishio duash and izyapshu, unless you know specifically, I'm continuing with the Ramah Bedech Shein Lochush Lechomets, unless it was done and processed in a way that certainly does not contain any chomets. Tzuka, What's sukkah? Sukkah is sugar. What about sugar? Also le'ochloi. Sugar is forbidden to eat. Ve'afunu le'ashoyser, also even to keep it, is also. Gentlemen, also to keep sugar. Never mind eating it. Why? Because this again, it comes in close contact with flour. And guess what? It's very hard to distinguish between the flour and the sugar. It looks exactly the same. So therefore, the minhag that the Rama reports is to refrain from eating sugar on Pesach. However, on Yom Tov Achron, on the last day of Pesach, Peros Yevashlim, we ochlim Peros Yevashlim, we do eat dried fruits, vetzukah, and sugar, vekanandl, she'ein boy chashash chimutz. The Rama says that sugar, however, and cinnamon, which is for sure not processed with flour, if you know that's the case, then it's fine. And finally, the Rama says the final minhag. The minhag in those countries is zafrin. Zafrin is also oy neglach, or neglach is what is it? What we use for an Abdallah? What is it called? Someone for Abdallah, what is it? That's it. Cloves also, neglach is also also. But if it's mixed up with others, then it's fine. Rabbi Sadi, this is really important. Because I have a question which has been bothering me for a long time about this. The Shulchan Aruch starts with honey. And he says, honey honey is fine. The Rama says, no, honey is not fine. It could contain, easily could contain flour. And then the Rama continues, you know, dried fruit is also a problem. Because dried fruit is often dried. In order to absorb the moisture, we use flour. Therefore, raisins and dried fruits and even sugar, which is processed, all that is also, you don't do that. There is, therefore, an ancient minhag, it's really ancient, to avoid dried fruits and similar items on Pesach. Many of that minhag. I want to ask a question though. I don't know the answer. There's many families who have got those kinds of minhagim. Many refrain from eating dried fruits on Pesach. Let's address this one because that's a good example. But there's many other countless. Some refrain from fish. Some don't have. Even there's endless amount of minhagim. Now, the reason is because historically, in the times of the Rama, there was a genuine concern. Perhaps it may have been processed with flour, and therefore we are very concerned. We're nervous. We don't touch it. What happens if you've got raisins nowadays which has got a hashkocha? A hechsher stamp from a very respectable and very erlicher Beis Din, which takes achrayas for this item, that it certainly doesn't contain chametz. In such an instance, does the minhag still make sense, yes or no? I'm repeating. We've got over here a minhag which is based on a historical fact that the way this was processed was perhaps with flour. Very good. Therefore, we refrain. Alright, I understand that. And as long, for many, many, many years, it made sense to adhere to this minhag. But I'm asking now, Tov Shin Pei. Pesach Tov Shin Pei. Pesach Tov Shin Pei Aleph. There is, let's say, there is ways of manufacturing this which clearly doesn't contain any chametz. You can do nowadays raisins. You can do nowadays sugar. You can do nowadays countless of those examples quoted here without being remotely close to chametz. And there's very good hashkochas and batidinim which confirm that. Does the minhag still make sense, yes or no? Does it make sense? So you're saying there's a minhag, although the reason is not valid anymore, clearly, nevertheless, there is still a minhag, and the minhag overrides its reason. And the proof that you bring is from Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, that although nowadays we have Eluach, we know the second day is not Yom Tov, nevertheless we keep it because Minigav Asenib Yodenu, even Lekula, from that, from what we see. So the reason why I differ is because there we have got a Beis Din which established the second day Yom Tov, and they established it as a real Yom Tov. They had the power to even cancel Anochas Tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. We know second day Yom Tov is not Yom Tov, but Chachomim established the second day Yom Tov Shel Shel Golias, despite the fact that we're not going to daven Shemoneh Esrei, we're not going to put on Tefillin, we're not going to do any of that. They had the koyach to do that. That's not in the same category of, surely that's not in the same category of what we are talking about here. Much more modern. It's true, it's centuries old, but it's much more modern and recent to avoid eating sugar and raisins and dried fruits. I don't believe that you can compare that to the koyach of a Beis Din in the times of Chazal. Any thoughts on that? I'm sure many of you have got such customs on Pesach, which are based generations to generations, going back to our ancestors in Poland, in Russia, in Hungary, in Germany, in Lithuania, in Vilkomir, Rabbi Kagan in Vilkomir, that avoided various foods because of a genuine chashash which existed then. But even nowadays, we've got a Rav, a Beis Din, a Hashgach, that tells us it's fine, there's no flour anywhere near these raisins. What's the problem with it? What's the problem? How can it be also? I don't know, but that's certainly in a minute to refrain. Does Al Tito Ishtoya Simecha go so far? I'm leaving it open, I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Fine, and
I suppose you never know what might happen in the future, so if you're keeping something which had the basis for it originally, even though it seems like that reason's gone, who knows what will be in the future, who knows what will be.
I hear you, Svara. But to categorically forbid something like that, I trust that whatever may happen again, people will figure it out, and they'll figure out what to do about it. People are very robust, and if there is a problem, people will figure it out. And I have a proof for that. We know we've been in a lockdown now for a few weeks and indeed months, and who would have thought people are capable of putting it through, and yet people haven't been able to pull through. So people find ways to sort out things. So also, if there would be an issue developing about various food items again, they'll figure it out then, and it doesn't make sense to for centuries forbid something which really doesn't apply anymore, the reason.
Doesn't the Ramah say explicitly?
Yeah. So therefore, what are you saying?
In this case, we do know. If there's a Heksha saying, you're taking no comments there, then that's fine.
Yeah, I agree very much. I read the Ramah the same way than you. And I also see that the Ramah will specifically forbid only something in a case where there is a genuine chashash. If there's no chashash, the Ramah says it's mutter. So you're right, I also see that. Nevertheless, but many people only take the first part of the Ramah and they leave out those words. And they say, look, he says there's a minik. Yesh tolu b'minik ha-mukur. Yesh machmir shev. Hinoagu b'medino is edu le-hachmir. So there's a widespread minik to be stringent. How about so many foods? And they go as far as even if there's no chashash to ask it. But I read them all the same way than you. Finally, the Mishtabuin Sivkot Lamed Gimel speaks about shnuf tabak. He speaks about shnuf tabak, and guess what? He was very bothered about it. He says, in the name of the Chaya Odom, he says that shnuf tabak might be a problem. He says, it might be a problem, and he says, in particular, shnuf tabak, tobacco, which was processed in the times of the Chaya Odom, the Mishtabua says that he investigated, and he found out that it very often has yai nesach, to add the aroma, the alcohol aroma, there was a bit of wine in it, and a person enjoying the tobacco would actually enjoy a bit of yayin, a bit of wine, which is goyish wine, obviously, and therefore yayin nesach. Yayin nesach is also behana, and therefore to have tobacco and schnupf tabak, says the Mishnah, never mind having a problem on Pesach, it actually is a problem of Yain Nesach, which is actually forbidden all year round. He says he's very uncomfortable about it. He says, Yeshlach koi etzala umnin, he quotes the Chayodom. You've got to investigate with the experts and the tradesmen, you have to find out him oisinken if they actually produce it with wine or not. I doubt that nowadays there's got any issue of Yain Nesach anymore. I don't believe there is. But what is interesting to find out that it's obvious, but there was absolutely no, the Mishnah was concerned about Hilchus Pesach. He was concerned about Hilchus, about Yain Nesach. There was absolutely no knowledge at that point about the health hazard that tobacco may cause. I think it's quite interesting, actually. It may be obvious, but I just think it's interesting. Right, okay, we covered a lot of ground today, Bezer Hashem. We spoke about grain, which is so important as halacha. Grain which is still connected can become chametz if it's fully ripe and fully matured. It can become chametz if there's a lot, according to the Mishnah Berurah, a lot of rain going on it. It will become chametz. Therefore, the minhag is for many generations already that we harvest the wheat used for the matzahs very early when it's still moist and not completely when it's still very early in its development and early in it's not fully grown yet, to avoid that problem. But if it's fully developed, although it's not harvested, it can become chametz. We spoke about if you find split chitim, then it's also, but you don't have to forbid the other parts and the other elements in the bag, because you just look at what's also whatever is also is also, whatever is not split and remains mutter. We then spoke about honey. Honey general as a rule you can allow, says the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is not so happy about it, and then he goes into the discussion of dried fruits, and he said depends on Mekoymes, on the places, and he says that in many places people refrain from eating it because it was dried, the moisture was absorbed with the means of flour, and therefore it was unhappy about it. And it goes into other foods as well, including sugar and cloves and saffron. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes tobacco. But again, all these are if there's a chashash of it being chametz stick, and that's when it would be also right. Okay, that's it for this evening. Okay. Hope you're keeping well, gentlemen. I hope you're keeping well.